Hi, and welcome to GamerCast, episode 92.
And I'm Paul, and we're hey.
It's Sunday, and we're back again. I got a squeaky chair.
Well, knock it off.
Yeah.
Don't move. Look, you don't see me moving around.
Freeze. Try not to move.
Just because you're frozen doesn't mean you have to go.
You do. When you freeze, you go. Do we actually get any letters?
We have to think about a Doom 3 demo, but that was sent to a different account, not GamerCast. Episode 91, we had something from Mr. Who.
Yeah, he's joined me on my account now.
Oh, the messenger kit, yeah. He's advertising things on our blog.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to get one, but I just haven't bothered. Yeah, he's talking about the messenger kit for Xbox 360, where you can plug a keyboard into the controller.
Definitely going to get one. I'm thinking of getting myself that, maybe the camera, and I want to treat myself on the Xbox 360. And I want to get the wireless headset, but I want to go for the Halo edition.
Is there anything you don't want to get?
Nope. Another controller at the moment. I've already got two black ones. Maybe playing Charger Kit, but I don't know.
I know, you can give me a controller.
Black one.
Black one.
Mine. Get a Halo one.
Halo one downstairs.
You got a Halo one, did you?
No, but there's one downstairs.
How did you get a Halo one downstairs?
The green one, which comes from the Halo Xbox.
How did you get a green one?
Because
again?
Chris brought his one over.
Oh, he's got a Halo edition in Xbox 360, did he?
Yeah.
Cool.
He has. Did you see the research that some scientists have done lately on the prospect of our four-dimensional universe becoming four spatial dimensions and our time dimension will convert to spatial dimension?
No.
See anything on that?
No.
Oh, it was really funky, actually.
Go on.
I'll have to find it again.
Explain away.
Universe dimension. I just thought I'd throw it in there because you're a geek.
Yay! I've been space.
Oh yeah, there was another article about having two time dimensions.
What, the hour hand and the minute hand?
No. no. Oh yeah, time dimension to become space-like.
Paul is at the moment reading.
So yeah, basically, you know, it's all done with math and their like models and everything. And basically, they predicted that if a time dimension was going to change into a spatial dimension, we would see the universe expanding,
mm-hmm.
like we see now. So yeah, it'd be really cool. It means I would live everywhere.
Zip it. Boing.
Of course, it'll probably destroy the entire universe. But whatever. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Sweet.
So, news item this week. One which I think every Oblivion fan should be on the lookout for is the last piece of Oblivion downloadable content will be released tomorrow, which is Monday the 15th. And if you download it in the first week, it will be free. And after that, it will go to like whatever it is, like a couple of quid.
But this will not be something that is on the Game of the Year edition, which is out.
This is released later.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Oblivion downloadable content. It isn't huge. I mean, it's not an expansion pack, obviously.
Some bits and bobs.
But you basically got a castle to hang out with, and there's people around there defending it for you, and it just adds things like that.
Cool.
But I cannot find.
Yeah, because you could get them to build you a place in Morrowind, couldn't you?
Yeah.
It's that similar sort of thing. It's like it only activates, you think, when you've completed something, or it's just.
I don't know. Let's see if we've got any details about it. The last ever piece of downloadable content available Monday is called Fighter's Stronghold.
Cool.
Gives you none other than your very own castle, complete with a troop of knights to defend it.
Ooh.
A secret treasure vault, a winemaker to brew special potions, a combat trainer to spar with, and even a taxidermist to fashion sculptures out of the most impressive kilns.
Cool.
On top of that, most obvious joy of owning enormous fantasy property with sprawling dining halls, wine cellars, barracks, training rooms, a Dwemer forge, and the things like that.
Cool.
You come about owning Battlehorn Castle by seeing off some ruthless marauders besieging the place, before discovering a letter written by its former owner. Also, Oblivion used PS3 Shivering Isles. They are close to offering it as a downloadable edition or as a disc in shops. Currently, the only way to get your hands on it is by buying the Game of the Year edition. That's for the Shivering Isles.
For PS3.
Xbox 360 owners, on the other hand, can get their hands on a retail copy of the Shivering Isles soon, which also has Knights of the Nine content built in. So that's interesting. They're releasing it retail standalone as well.
So for those people that have gone out, say for instance, like myself, if I never got rid of my third Xbox.
If you've still got Oblivion, you can buy the add-on disc separately. But basically how it works is you've got a disc, you put that disc in the thing, it copies all the content to the hard drive, and then you just play with the normal Oblivion disc.
Yeah. The same as if you downloaded it.
Yeah, so you do need a hard drive to make use of it.
Yeah. Which I did have at the time.
So yeah, Fighter Stronghold will be free to download for PC from the official website for 1 week.
For their PC? Price,
according to that, yeah.
I'll have to have a look on...
But have a look on the Xbox as well.
Yeah, I'll look on the Xbox and see what we can find.
Because maybe it is. There's also been some EA news recently, in that they have now bought out the entire universe, and we must struggle against the company, because the company, in their greed for profits, want us to go and salvage an alien spacecraft and bring back an alien to the planet Earth, but we think it might be dangerous, so we have to stop EA.
It would be alright if they could actually make a decent game all the time.
Hey, they made a decent game.
Other people made a decent game and they got the EA logo stamped on it, you mean? Like Skate,
yeah,
I know
it's not
made by
they
EA.
They didn't make a good game, did they?
EA made Skate, which I'm going to do a review on later, and that is an amazing game, but you can tell it's EA something, so...
EA sucks. It's Fight Night. I was going to say Fight Night, however, it's buggy as hell. The replays are absolutely pathetic. The whole menu thing is buggy. It doesn't work right. You can't load more than one profile to do multiplayer. So if you've got career characters on your different individual profiles, you can't load them all in multiplayer and fight against each other. Which, you know, it's just unfinished. So yeah, anyway, they've acquired BioWare/Pandemic for $860 million redos.
BioWare, mainly known for Jade Empire,
Knights of the Republic.
Knights of the Republic, and also
Knights of the Republic.
Neverwinter Nights. Unless I've got to go back and play Neverwinter Nights too.
I do not have Neverwinter Nights, so I will not play it. Yeah, on GameSpot's website, there are some real noobs on there commenting that better EA to own them than BioShock, because better EA to own them rather than Microsoft, because if Microsoft owned them, they just release crap games like Halo 3.
Yes, because Halo 3 is a really crap game. It has no storyline whatsoever, the control system's crap, and to be honest, you might as well not have any friends, because you'll never play it online, because it never logs onto the servers. There's no friends list, and the maps are absolutely crap. You only have one gun, which is useless and can only shoot from a small distance. You might as well spit on a person from a great distance. Yes, Halo 3 is crap. I'm getting quite good at this lying stuff.
Dude, you suck. Rawr. Yeah, so that's the two main news items which caught my radar. Mm. There was something else, but I've forgotten what it was.
Have a quick nosy. Nosy. Mosey, nosy. Pumpkin pie. Ooh, let's have something funny. If you're a regular listener to the show and you've been listening for a long time, and or you haven't and you've listened back to our previous episodes, you may remember some guy called Stu who had a Scottish accent and did really stupid stuff on the show. Funny story, he was playing with the kids next door and he came running out the front door and tripped over on the driveway and cracked a couple of ribs. On his second tour to the doctors to get a checkup, he sneezed and broke them both. So now he's got broken ribs, and he's got like an incave on his chest where they're broken. It had collapsed in. It doesn't look good, and he's in quite a lot of pain, but it was quite funny. I had to take the piss, because both I know Stu from skateboarding, and both of us have done quite a lot of extreme sports. And to crack a couple of ribs falling over playing with small kids, he was just chasing them down the street, and he tripped over on this.
Chasing them down the street?
Yeah, his next door neighbor's kids, they were chucking balls, and he was chucking them back, and I think he tripped over on the pavement. Landed on his drive and silly ass. I had to take the piss seriously. It's quite good.
How would you like it if I break your ribs?
If I got signed off work and I couldn't move and all I could do is play video games all day, I'd be quite happy. He said he was reading about 3 books a day, because he reads a lot of books anyway. He works in Waterstones. And he said he got fed up of reading. I must admit, after a while, I probably would get fed up of playing video games. But
I'm fed up of video games. We should rename this Bookcast, we review books.
This is a book. It has letters, no pictures, and it has a nice little review at the back about it. Let me read it to you. This is a book. This is the review. You will enjoy the book. Thank you.
So yeah, this is really more your speciality.
It took me quite a long time to download this demo because my net connection kept screwing up. But finally, I managed to download Project Gotham Racing 4.
From his legal BitTorrent Uber non-legal pretend legal Uber wares website torrent link index page.
Yeah, I downloaded it off Xbox Live. Yeah, it's...
So you're just talking about the demo.
It's 2 tracks, a few cars, a couple of bikes.
Bikes. A bikes. Concept which won't work.
Fair enough, you can be knocked off a bike, and the bike goes skidding off.
How easy is it to be knocked off a bike?
I don't know about being hit by
a
car.
Can you smash into them like willy-nilly and still
survive? I've hit a wall and it's just made me wobble, and also I'll just come flying off and you and the bike go in 2 separate directions. And then when the bike's finished moving, then it respawns and you're a flashing person who can't see, and you put 1 foot down, does his lifesaver check, and then you pull away again. So a bit like a car, and you screw it up and you press that reset button to go back. You can come off the track, but unfortunately for the motorbike, if you become detached from the bike, it's like pressing the reset button to go back to the track, so that happens automatically.
I see.
So you have the advantage and disadvantage of being on the bike. Controls, it's very arcadey, not realistic, after playing the demo last week, which I said about MotoGP 07. but great acceleration, forward and backwards braking. The only thing that I've got annoyance with was, I was like, ooh, I can do a wheelie. So I was doing a wheelie down the straight, and I was like, ooh, hang on, this is quite a high wheelie. Normally I lose it round right now. Hang on, I can do a left turn doing a wheelie. Not very well, but I can turn left and turn right. Hang on, I can actually go so far back that the back of the bike is touching the floor and I haven't fallen off yet. By now, I probably would be a skidding humble of mess going down the track on motor.
Yep, GP. You would be squashed by your own bike.
Yeah, so realistically, it does have that off. But then again,
it's an arcade game.
Yeah, they've matched the biking.
It's a serious arcade game.
Yeah, the biking has been matched to match the cars. So if you think, oh, that's not realistic, well, it's as realistic as the cars are from the looks of things. Snow, going on to the look of it, looking absolutely amazing, because as everyone knows, Project Gotham Racing 3 was a release title.
What tracks does it have in it?
The demo's got, I can't remember what the first one was that I did.
What city
like
is it?
I think it was like New York or something like that, I'm not too sure.
God, New
York. It was some sort of cityscape, I wasn't
some
paying too
goddamn
much attention.
Goddamn stupid square block
I might be wrong, I wasn't entirely sure. Go check.
Yeah, I'll just download it and then destroy the live broadcast.
The second one, which was very cool, which gave you the option for the weather. You can either have sunny or snow.
Is that Nürburgring?
Yes. Short part of the Nürburgring. It's not the full lot, but it's just the Formula 1 section. It's a demo. Come on, you've got to give with it. But in snow, it was still quite fun. Going around that on a motorbike, putting one knee down, sliding all over the place. The amount of times I ended up in the kitty litter, which is frosted kitty litter because it's covered in snow. But the look of it looks absolutely amazing. Your vanishing point shrinks something unbelievable. I must admit, doing something like London track in the fog and stuff like that is going to be good, because you're really stuff is going to become looming out at you, and it's going to look a lot better. Where before, you were trying to always get that vanishing point further and further away by the graphics engine being able to reduce the environment further and further away like it looked realistic. Now you've got that, but now that's been thrown further forward and you've got the lights on, and all of a sudden you see someone's brake lights and you're like, brake, 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 brake. And it's going to create a new element for the racing, and it's going to be quite good on live. So I'm quite pleased with it. Only problem is, I don't think myself, I'm finished with Forza 2 yet. So it's like, do I go out and pay 40 quid for a new racing game when I'm still playing something like Forza 2, which is absolutely amazing anyway. To be honest, I think the only thing that's got...
The problem here is there's too much good stuff out.
Yeah,
there's Orange Box coming out, Halo 3, you've had Bioshock lately, Forza 2, people are still playing, and so on.
Halo's out, you've got Assassin's Creed yet to come out.
When's that?
What, Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed, mid-November. Towards the end, I think. Or it was early November, it might be like 12th or something like that. But yeah, there's an array of good games. Straight off the bat, though, for the beginning of autumn's release of games for coming up to Christmas, we've had off the bat a good selection, and it is kind of like you are spoiled for choice.
For those interested, Assassin's Creed, as I'm being informed by Catherine, is out on the 16th of November.
I knew it was mid-November. I knew it was that is on my list. That is on my list to get. That and Orange Box. I don't know about Project Gotham because of the fact of me losing my all my data on my last Xbox. I'm going to be having to start Forza 2 again. So, you know, so I'm playing. I've got Forza 2 start from scratch. I've got Blue Dragon playing. I've got Halo 3, and I've got Skate. So,
yeah, for Big Duda, I've got a glass with a cow on it.
Cool. Hey, you've already got the box with oranges inside of it. I was wearing my Half-Life 2 t-shirt yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It had to be sold for Danger Mouse, did it?
Well, it was a bit sweaty.
So what the hell is... That's Penfold, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Penfold.
What is he supposed to be?
Hamster.
And what's he supposed to be?
Guinea pig.
And that? Who the hell's that?
Caterpillar. That's Greenback's little thing that he strokes. I can't remember what it's called. And that's a crow. And he's the one who always goes, "See Baroni."
Okay, danger, dude.
Danger, Mouse. But yeah, loads of great games are out at the moment, and it is spoiled for choice. But if you don't have Forza 2, or Forza 2 is just
If you don't like simulation games, get PGR.
It is the next top game. To be honest, myself, I am going to wait for it to come down in price, or wait for it to be one of those $29.99 in the sale for 1 week.
I will buy it when Adam pays me the 60 quid he owes me.
60 quid? Oh yeah, it's gone up, hasn't it? Because I forgot to pay that money.
It's October now. That's the listener figures.
I keep forgetting.
Which shows our 100,000 downloads.
Yeah, sorry, Paul. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, you owe me for July, August, September. Oh, yes, even more than I thought.
Sure, I paid the other ones.
Nope. This does not lie.
Okay. Yeah, because we're coming in September, I was going to pay. I'm sure I paid those other ones. No, if I haven't, I haven't. Well, I've got nothing to pay for out of my custom money next month, so.
We need to get rid of the live server and save some money.
Yeah, maybe shut it down for a bit.
Yeah, I need to update my
Mario
the
rolling
expensive list as well. What was that, Mario Galaxy? Same day?
Same day as Assassin's Creed.
Same day as the day you're going to be some money. Let's say £100. No, I'll start charging you interest on it, and that's how I'll make some money.
I don't do interest.
I do. Hand it over. £200. Yeah, seriously, listeners, give us some damn money.
Or we'll cut the live feed.
Yeah, because it's too expensive. We'd have to. That would also mean we'd have to cut the number of episodes we have online, because it's using up about 2.5 gigs of space.
Yeah.
So we'd have to cut that back if we got rid of that server as well.
Would that mean my website would be gone as well?
I'm sure I could squeeze your tiny website on my other server if we did get rid of it. But I'd have to squeeze everything else in there as well.
Because I've got that other website we got coming on as well.
Ooh, is that going to give us some money?
Yeah.
How much money? £10 a month?
I've still got to sort that out. I keep forgetting about it.
Well, just say it's an unlimited package and charge 20 quid a month. Then it's only costing us 10 quid each. Anyway, also released Unreal Tournament 3 beta demo that was released either yesterday or today. And my first impressions was, whoa man, this looks like Gears of War. Because when you were plopped into the level, none of the textures had loaded yet. The textures all loaded in as it went along. So that's Gears of War-esque. Gameplay wise, it plays like the other versions. Yeah, I mean, it is Unreal Tournament with nicer graphics. Bless you.
Sorry. Feel bad for that.
Good.
It looked quite good. Not my type of game, the whole running around blowing the crap out.
Oh yeah. Yes. I have yet to play some vehicle stuff for any of the larger maps. But yeah, I mean, all the weapons are basically the same. You've got the flat cannon and, the bio rifle and the shock rifle or whatever it's called. And the link gun.
Most of it, I did play
and a rocket launcher.
I did play a little bit of Unreal Tournament 2003 with an outdoor map online, and that was quite a lot of fun playing it with me. Played that for quite a bit, and that was very cool because it was a large map and you could fly around, and you had a base and they had a base, and I did quite like that. That was quite good.
Yeah, so I'm actually quite impressed by it. I do like the menu system as well. The menu system is really cool. But the demo did not want to place itself in my Games Explorer. How rude. And it also installed the goddamn Aegea physics crap, even if you don't have a physics card. Which is a pain in the ass. I wish it didn't do that.
Cool. So you're impressed with it. You think it's going to be something you'll own when it comes out?
Don't know if I'd go that far. Simply because it is like the other games. And I do already have the other games. Apart from 2004, because that was just the same as 2003. With vehicles and stuff. Which Halo had anyway, which I was playing at the time. So yeah, it's a solid game. From the demo, it's 1 out of 10. The levels in the demos in the demo is quite good. Yeah, it's good, man.
Cool.
PC people should download it immediately and see what it's like.
Right, speaking of another demo, I downloaded a new demo for release on Xbox Live, The Simpsons game.
Oh, woohoo. The Simpsons. The Top Sims.
Strange views on it. Catherine's played it and she wasn't too keen on it. Bad animation. I think I was laughing too much while playing it because it was very like playing in a Simpsons episode and it was very surreal. I'm a little bit worried that it may wear off quickly. Younger people may find it more hilarious. People who are really, really big Simpsons fans are going to love it. But it's a third person run round, you got special moves, and you use a D-pad to flick through all the characters. I was playing as Homer and Bart. Bart's abilities are to turn into Bartman, use a slingshot, glide with his cape, and he's got like a kind of a Batman rat that he throws up and uses it to climb up onto buildings. And Homer basically burps everywhere and inflates himself and moves along really fast when he farts and can jump on stuff. There are special power-ups around where like Homer can get a chili and he automatically inflates and becomes on fire and attacks everything, and Bart can pick up robot Bart costume and shoots lasers, and both of those modes are where you become invincible. There's a lot of like moments where you have to keep jumping between characters. Like you're attacking the big donut bloke, the whole big boy with a donut, and he's like shooting everything with laser beams out of his eyes, which is very surreal. And Homer can jump on in fat mode, can jump on hydrants and make air come out, it's water, and Bart can use it to fill his cape and to fly up high to land on top of this fat boy bloke. So, you've got like a mixture of different characters' abilities to help each other and allowing you to not stick with one character, which does add some good gameplay. Hopefully it's drop-in, drop-out co-op, but don't know much about the final game because it is a demo. Myself, I'm impressed with it. Whether or not I would go out and buy it is a different matter. With, like we said earlier in the show, there are a lot of great games out at the moment. It's whether you'd be pushed to spend your hard cash. But if you like this sort of thing and you want the action to be able to just play around with your favourite Simpsons characters and beat stuff up and have loads of little crazy... I've been attacked by loads of crazy Krusty the Clown in sporting goods wear attacking me, which was very surreal. But yeah, it's a good game to come out after the release of the Simpsons movie. But to be honest, it's a good game, but whether it's worth its money, don't know. For kids, it's going to be good. Fans, they'll love it. But I would definitely say take the demo and have a go on it. It's very funny. I must admit, I was very impressed. If it comes down cheap, I might buy it just to have with the mates, a few beers, and have a complete laugh. But no, I was quite impressed with it. Paul's now playing Unreal Tournament 3. You're right, it does have that very foggy aspect to the visual look further away. Finish now.
Carry on talking. Well, our next topic was do Skate.
I'll do my Skate review. Yes, just purchased Skate because that was the other demo I tried out. Skate, the Skate demo, which I would definitely say have a go. Takes you through the first part of the tutorial, but the good thing about it is part way through the tutorial allows you to go around and talk to people and finish off a few of these missions. If you don't talk to the people, you don't start the mission, hence you don't have to complete the demo. I didn't notice any time constraints on that part of the demo, so you can play it as long as you want. Nothing hidden, there's no extra bits that you get, there's no unlocking tricks or anything like that. It's all doable straight away, you've just got to learn how to do it. The system for it is absolutely amazing, using the right analog stick, moving it forwards, backwards, and in different directions to do kickflips, ollies, nollies, nolly flips, heel flips, toe flips, hop shove-its, you name it, you can do it on this. Grinding no longer has a button because you don't have to do something to grind, you just jump on, hope for the best, and balance, which is exactly the same on this. You go up, and there is no camera anymore. The camera no longer exists. There is no camera view on this game. Basically, the storyline is that you're not just by yourself. You have someone on a skateboard following you behind with a camera, like they do on pro skating when they have a guy on a skateboard following behind with a camera at heel height filming you. The idea is that you're looking from the camera's point of view following the guy. So now you don't swing your camera out of the way, and it's perfect view to line up these nice rails, nolly kick flip straight onto a rail, and you use the analog stick to move the board around to change different positions for different tricks. Manuals, really easy, it's just using the analog stick to move it further backwards, and all tricks are variations of these simple maneuvers that everybody spends ages learning how to do. So for that, for a skateboarder, you can pick it up really quickly and you know exactly what you want to do. As a gamer, it's just as simple. I'm much happier not having to ever use a button to jump, because you don't jump in skateboarding, you have to do a trick, and a trick hences you off the floor, and that's what they've done now. So you can get off the floor doing whatever you want. You don't have to hold some stupid button combination while pressing the jump button to do a different type of trick other than a kickflip. So that I'm very happy with. The look for it, the environment, graphics-wise, absolutely amazing. You will only find any load time is if you actually do this very cool feature, which is very good for skating. It's called place a marker to say where a good place is. So you're at front of a rail and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know you're not going to make it first time. So you place a marker, you go up, jump up, ollie onto the rail, grind down this big set of rails that will take you ages to get back up again because they're all steps. So you know you're going to have to go around the block to get back up there. You screw it up and you're like, oh, I want to do that again. So you press the D button, the opposite direction to where you pressed it to get the marker, and pow, you're back at the starting place again. Hence, as if you got off your skateboard, walk back up, and then had another go. So it's very much like going out skating with your mates. If you move far enough away from the marker and try to go back, it will load, but you have to move quite a bit of distance. Otherwise, I have not seen a single loading time apart from when I get the tram to another part of the city. The cities are absolutely humongous. It doesn't look that big on the map, but while you're on a skateboard, it's big. There's lots to do, lots of hidden places, housing estates with pools in the back. I ended up finding a sewer tunnel that followed me down into a bit like the scene out of Terminator, where they're going down the sewer escape area in Terminator 2. It was so much like that, but downhill. You're going through these sewer tubes that are really big and getting this really high air at the end, and you end up in an industrial state and you're grinding down the back of Arctic trucks parked up and stuff like that. The other thing is very much like Amp 2, where it's, you know, you can't just pick it up and play it. You will find you're hitting the floor all the time. I fall over on a regular basis because you've got to learn how to do it. The thing is, it's not like, ooh, there's some power cables, I can grind across them. Ooh,
there's a monkey, let's run it over.
Yeah, it's not silly. Some games there are just silly for skateboarding. This is much more like a sim for skateboarding. It is very realistic. You're grinding along a curve.
They've put like some... The game comes with this... Well, it looks like a big black box, basically, and it's got like two electrodes on top of it, and you plug those electrodes into your head, and when you fall off, it like generates pain.
Actually, speaking of that, when you fall off enough times, it actually gives you a report of what you sprained, bruised, and broken. And if you don't press A to reset your character, he lays there and like screams in pain. And you can see him like grabbing his knee where you've landed on your knees, like, oh, it's awful.
Archie's noob.
But yeah, it's quite cool. Your guy behind you with the camera has got a rucksack, and you press select, you go into the rucksack. It shows you points of interest of really cool rails that you've found, and you can go back and find those rails again and do different tricks on them. Bits of information
on
there.
It's got a rail gun in it. Cool.
You can find... there's a whole editor system for video and for saving pictures, just like Halo 3 has. So you can cut
PGR4's got all that as well.
Yeah, it seems to be the new thing to set up a profile. And because I went online and looked at a picture of Pete doing a big air and stuff like that. So you can upload your pictures that you take, and some bits you have to be photographed by a professional photographer while you're doing this jump.
What, like amped?
Yeah, but the cool thing is he'll show you every single still shot that he took with the camera as he was firing off all the frames, and you can go through and pick one and load it up onto the net. So it's cool things like that, and you can load them on your profile and save videos and stuff. So
who actually made the game?
EA.
EA, who? Which developer?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to have another look. I didn't look into it too much.
It's not the AMP developer, is it?
Might be, but it's very well done, and it has got a big following of pro skaters. The first opening sequence is this very cool video where you're watching this guy. It's all in video footage. He filmed it all, and this guy grinds down a rail, which is the first rail you come across, and you're playing as yourself, and you've got a hoodie on, so you can't see what you look like, and a bus runs you over. So it's this really surreal thing where you get picked up by these pro skaters all dressed up as ambulance drivers, and they take you to the hospital, and you're passing loads of pedestrians, and you keep getting in the way of the ambulance, and they're all people, pro skaters dressed up as different people, and there's this guy being mugged and he's a pro skater and stuff like that, and you end up going into surgery, and when you come out there's a guy pointing a camera at you in your face, and he's the guy that becomes your friend and follows you around everywhere. So he films you while you're skating, and that's the whole idea, is you're making a skate video so you can record all these bits, and at the end you can make your own skate reel of all your different clips.
So ooh, for, man, a skate, that sounds good.
For a skater fan, it's really more like it, so it's very cool. The system is absolutely amazing for it. I'm very impressed, can't not put it down.
EA Canada,
and they've actually brought in this system which I really like. I was a bit worried when they start mentioning about a game like Horse for basketball, where you letters, and as soon as someone says letters, I just start thinking of bloody Tony Hawk's and skating around trying to touch each letter to make a word up. And it's not, it's proper game. You find a rail with this character, and he does a trick, and you've got to copy him. And if you muck it up, you take away a letter, and it ends up spelling out the word skate. And you just play the game Skate. Like Horse.
So yeah, it's developed by EA Canada, formerly known as Distinctive Software before they were bought out.
Yeah, that's the ones. But yeah, very, very good. I'm very impressed with it. It's definitely a good game. It's stylistically amazing. It's got a lot of sponsorship following because all of the pro skaters are wearing all of their sponsorship gear of who follows them, trainers and stuff like that, skateboards. Hence, you can purchase them as you get money for becoming a pro skater, which is quite cool. For my guy, I ended up just in a pair of shorts like I wear skateboarding, a DC blue t-shirt, and I got a pair of yellow and black Etney deck shoes on, and I'm wearing green and black Etney deck shoes on at the moment. They didn't have green ones. So as a skater, absolutely amazing. Easy to pick up. You don't have to know anything about skating to learn how to do this, and it all runs through the basics. And the good thing is, because it's all done on the thumbstick for kickflips and everything, it's very it's very easy to show people how to do tricks by the fact that they show you a little grey circle to emphasize the thumbstick, and then they draw a line showing the direction you should move it and bounce it to. So, absolutely amazing. A decent sporting game out. I definitely will give this. Can I go 0.5?
No.
Okay, I'll give it 9 out of 10. The only reason is because it was a bit buggy on one part of the level. I got real screw up on the graphics and it all went screwed up. And online was okay, but a little bit jumpy. And I'm a bit bothered it's running to EA servers, so I'm not too sure. But apart from that, absolutely amazing.
Yep, EA servers will make it suck, right?
But as a game, definitely, if you're a skater, as a skating sports game, if you put this against any Tony Hawk's game, if we say no other games exist and this is just, it's up there with BMX, snowboarding and other Tony Hawk's games and blading games, I put this 10 out of 10. It's compared to all other gaming games, it has to be a 9. But as a sports, if you put it just in the genre of extreme sports gaming, it is the top at the moment. There is nothing better on the market than this. Because a new Tony Hawk is coming out, and I'm curious to see what they're going to be doing for a system, because the thing is, once you played it, and if you played any of the skating games, you will turn around and go, why the hell did this? They not do this before?
Nothing beats Tony Hawk's 2.
Yeah, there was. It was that really good game they brought out later. What was it called? Developed by that really cool firm. Yeah, Tony Hawk's 3.
So I take it you like it.
Yeah, the only thing that some people have agreed with me is the only thing that was really annoying is you cannot get off the skateboard. And
get off the skateboard and do what?
Run.
Just sit around?
There's some tricks where you run along, jump, and put the board back underneath you. They don't have that in there, but when it was in Tony Hawk's, it was cool, and you could climb up onto stuff and then get back on your skateboard. So it's a shame they didn't have that in there. It would have been nice.
Oh,
but
trust me, Skate 2 will have that.
But one
when
thing
it comes out in 6 months' time.
When you move the left analog stick to move your character, because he's not got much, if you haven't got much forward motion, then obviously leaning on the board won't move much. So he'll actually automatically lift the nodes of the board up and swivel it. So if you go left, right, you can actually play tic-tac-toe where you actually tap the front trucks left and right, and that automatically causes slight forward motion. So the skateboard reacts exactly how it should do. The animation's done really well because it isn't real animation, it's all done off motion capture. And all of the pro skaters who you will see in the game all had a hand in playing the motion capture for themselves and for their other standard characters that you see around. So the fact it's motion capture, fair enough, that's, you know, the dead evil against all animators, I admit that, but if you want to get something looking amazingly realistic and not over
good, you get rid of the animator
and you do
and
motion
just let
capture.
A robot do it.
If you want something to look unrealistic, like some guy flying or doing stuff that isn't possible, then you animate it. You want unrealistic? Animate it.
No. Motion capture. Strings.
But yeah,
Tony Hawk's 2 was the best one.
But yeah, impressed. Good thing is, if you've got an Xbox 360, the demo is out there and you can have a full whack and feel, understand what it really feels like. But as far as the level is concerned, it's fully open. You move around as you feel. You can get a tram to shortcut to places, but it is all open play. So you just go down streets, grind curbs and grind benches like you would in town until you find somewhere cool.
So you find a police dude.
Yeah, security.
You pack it in.
If you get caught by security, they actually knock you off your skateboard and drag you to the outskirts of their area, and they fine you $50. So you actually lose some of your hard-earned cash that you'd spend on new wheels and stuff
like
that.
In the UK, you could do that because there's too much CCTV. They know where you are, so you could never escape. That would be it. Game over.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's that same dude again. Oh, look, it's that dude going into his house. Let's get him. Ridiculous. Anyway, let's crack on with the Portal review.
Yep, go on to the Portal
review. This is what everyone has been waiting for.
Because now you have orange box.
I do not have an orange box. I have bits stored on my computer.
You don't have it all yet, then, does it not?
Well, I've got the whole thing, yeah, but I don't have an orange box.
They didn't give you a box. They just gave you bought it on Steam, so you don't get anything for it.
But I got to play Team Fortress 2 early.
Yeah, and you get to play everything else early because no one else can buy it on PC, can they, apart from on Steam?
Well, I mean, everyone buys it on Steam nowadays.
Apart from me. So, take us through it.
Initial impressions, it is what I was expecting. It is a game where you have a gun which can make portals, and that is essentially what you do. You make portals.
I must admit, my initial impression of you taking me through it...
Yeah, you're probably in a better position to give your initial impression because I played it too much.
It kind of gives you a feel like you're a bloke who's been shoved into a oversized rat maze in an experiment in the Half-Life 2 world. You're in a white room and you've just been... you've got all these things, and it feels like you're doing the Krypton Factor in the future, and you're going around, and it's like a mental test to see if you could get through
levels. It is, it's a puzzle game.
But the way that it's been played, you start off in this cubicle with a bed, futuristic bed, and a toilet, and a radio, and you're just sat there, and you feel like you're probably entertaining yourself, and then they let you out, and you slowly learn how to handle all this stuff, and it is like someone's using you as a test, a guinea pig, to see what would happen. And there's a voice telling you through it and saying these really quirky stuff that doesn't matter about, you know, you shouldn't really look into the other end of the portal device because they know that the portals are safe, but they haven't tested the portal generator yet. And silly things like that. So it gives, there's always a voiceover that really gives atmosphere to it.
And the field at the end of the level can rip out your dental fillings and even teeth.
Yeah. So it's got this kind of quirky feel that makes you feel like you're in this rat maze in an experiment, and people are watching you taking notes on a notepad, seeing what you would do in this sort of situation and how you would figure out how to use a portal generator and the grav lift thing, whatever it's called, that picks stuff up to get out of through this maze.
Your hands. You just pick it up.
Oh, you're picking it up with your hands. Okay.
Yeah, even though it does appear to float in front of you.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a bottom.
I thought that it was actually the gun thing, a bit like that that grab lift thing that you get in
it's
Half-Life 2.
Same as Half-Life, picking stuff up, you press E before you get the gravity gun.
Right. Okay. That's cool. But yeah, no, I'm fairly impressed. It's quite funny, you know, putting a one to the...
I wouldn't say it's worth $20.
It's not worth buying individual.
Oh, no.
It's worth
not,
it
not unless it was like $10.
But like it's worth playing if you, with getting it with Orange Box. It's going to be.
Oh yes, it's a nice addition to have. Because of course, Episode 2 is what everyone really wants, and Team Fortress.
Yeah.
Portal, which is certainly introduced new concepts, you'll people think of it, and then maybe do something more of it later on.
Yeah.
Because it is fairly short. You will get through all the puzzles quite quickly. Most of them just take trial and error. There are some bits where you have to be fast on the mouse to like get on the right platform at the right time and stuff like that, which is a pain in the ass sometimes. Because I think that sort of gameplay detracts from the rest of the game.
Mm.
Where a slow person who isn't very good could do it. But
yeah.
Rapid timing stuff on some levels, they need to get rid of that.
It's interesting to see what they're doing, because we were saying they're probably like maybe a mod will come out for it soon or something like that. Be interesting to see what happened for that sort of weapon to be brought into multiplayer action.
It needs a multiplayer aspect.
Yeah. Something interesting, even if they ended up just trying it with, say, multiplayer portals. So the portals are different colours, so you go in one, you'll fall out of another. So you have a blue portal and a orange coloured portal. It'd be quite interesting if you had a multiplayer, so it's like me and you, and mine fired red and green, and you know, we had to figure out a puzzle by doing it together. So I had to fire one to get you through somewhere, to drop you down somewhere, and you had to get two people through, sort of thing.
Oh yeah, multiplayer puzzle aspect would rock, definitely,
as like a co-op sort of thing. But then as multiplayer running around, and say you had a gun in one hand and this portal thing in the other, or the portal thing could shoot bullets or something, running around and you're...
So in other words, you just want to change it into Half-Life 2 Deathmatch.
Yeah, with the portal thing. Which would be quite cool. You're running along and you see this guy running up on a platform above you, shoot a portal in front of him, and just as he's about to get to that portal, you shoot a portal, the other portal in front of you, you fall through the floor, and you literally land right behind him, poof, in the back of the head.
This isn't a Halo 3.
In the back of the head.
This isn't Halo 3, you don't smack people in the back of the head and take them out. You have to shoot.
Bang, in the back of the head.
Bang, and then like, by the time you've emptied your gun, you can kill him.
But yeah.
I would give this game 5 out of 5 on the consideration that it should not be a full price title. It just doesn't have the length.
It's a flavour. It's an add-on with the rest of it. Because they wanted to create a package, they couldn't... I must admit, a lot of people were put off by the... You know, it's hard to try and sell Episode 1 and actually get any money from it. So, to actually redo Team Fortress... re-release it with Episode 1 and Half-Life 2 to intrigue those people who don't want to go out and trying to find a copy of Half-Life 2, then find a copy of Half-Life 1, Episode 1. They've got this ability to get people in with the fact that they're getting this package of Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and 2, Team Fortress 2 for multiplayer, and this puzzle game. So as a package it's good, but individually you would not ask much money for each one.
No. On that note, we are thinking about doing a competition to give away Half-Life 2 and Half-Life 2 Episode 1 on Steam. But we have to think of something first.
Okay.
So if anybody has any ideas for that, like what the competition can be, we will consider it. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, since I bought Episode 2 on Steam, I've got an extra copy of Half-Life 2 and Episode 1.
That haven't been activated yet, I'm presuming.
Yes, they can be given away.
Cool.
Although we can't sell them for £1 million.
No. They have to be given away.
So, yeah.
And don't worry, I won't get them because I already own them.
I won't get them because my name's Adam, and I'm buying the Xbox version anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah, I'm buying the Xbox version anyway, and I've already got Half-Life 2. Half-Life 2. Oh, look, there it is.
Hey, put that back. Put it back.
With his glasses. I keep forgetting he wears glasses.
Gordon Freeman, of course he wears glasses. He's a nerd scientist.
Gordon Freeman. Copy of Wolfenstein. Oh, that's it.
Have you finished looking at my shelf yet?
No, I wanted to look at this. This is...
Unreal Tournament 2003.
Unreal Tournament 2003. Oh wow, World of Warcraft, I've never played that before. I really want to play that.
So do I.
So yeah, I think that's us.
Yeah, we're done for this week.
Definitely go out there and try out those new demos. I definitely would recommend Skate.
Definitely get the orange box.
Yeah, orange box, I should.
Definitely get the Oblivion content.
Yeah. I'll be getting a copy of... when does Orange Box for Xbox 360 come out?
Don't know. But for next week, we'll be reviewing Episode 2.
Yep, because you would have played it.
I should have played it by then.
And hopefully, I think actually by then, Orange Box should be out, so I probably might be able to do a quick review on how I found the Orange Box on
Xbox 360.
On the Xbox. So... what's this?
Some Easter egg thing. I'll have to read it later.
Cool. Right. I'd say...
see you next week.
Yeah, we shall see you guys next week. Laters.
Send us your letters as well.
Yeah.
We've been instructed to read something.
Oh, we have to read it. Go on.
Earlier today, I posted about lost Easter eggs that people have been finding in Half-Life 2. Specifically in the whatever that is, initiative like logo and mysterious lost numbers. I put out a call for folks to send in any that they found in Kata Kukakawa. Oh, apparently that's the wrong thing. So I'm reading the wrong thing.
We're going to get another link. It's incoming news. I feel like I want to put two fingers to my ear like we're news reporters and we're getting something in now. It's coming in. We have a reporter in the field. Kawakata. I feel like it's Red Dwarf.
Dude, Catherine doesn't speak like that.
No, but the weird word that she wrote up, I can't read it because I'm dyslexic. But it's not the news. I know, but I felt like I was a news reporter and we're getting something new in, and I wanted to do the two fingers to my ear and just say...
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Best church ad ever.
St. Stephen's United Church. Sunday services. Worship, Sunday school, blah, blah, blah. Welcome to a caring congregation. We give more halo effect than Halo 3. Space rentals. Blah, blah, blah.
So I'm guessing maybe the 3 was added. We give more halo effect than Halo. Maybe that is what they wanted to say. They give more halo effect than Halo 3.
Yeah, it's it scores lame on my lameometer. And apparently that is a real thing.
No, what I meant, Catherine, was that it wasn't supposed to say that, and someone's taken the numbers off and moved them and then taken a picture.
What exactly is a halo effect? Is this some sort of religious experience?
As far as I was concerned, the halo effect is...
that brings firing and killing everyone.
Well, people say that you've got a halo on them, but as far as I was concerned, that people only get a halo on them because they're hovering and the sun's behind their head, causing a halo effect around the back of your head.
Catherine says it's some god thing.
Yeah, it is some sort of god thing.
Okay, Jesus. Whatever.
Jeeba, save me! No!
Okay, we're signing out now.
We'll catch you guys next week on episode 23. No, 93.
No, 23.
93. 93. Something number 3.
93.
Catch you guys later.